Welcome back to the Megaphone, the District 38 podcast. Today, we have the privilege of speaking with Davida Riggins, an inspiring leader, a proud Army veteran, and the president of Finer Toastmasters. She's a leader who believes in serving with or without a title, putting faith first, thriving as a pioneer of change, and inspiring both youth and adults to lead with courage and kindness. Davida is also an extraordinary member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Incorporated, where she continues to lead and serve with purpose. Professionally, Davida manages the pipeline and forecast for a federal sales support and operations team, leveraging her talent for building strategic relationships. Beyond Toastmasters and her career, Davida is all about family fun and creativity. She enjoys family game nights, old school music, dancing, traveling, and cooking, bringing the same warmth and energy to her personal life as she does to her leadership roles. Join us as we dive into Davida's journey, her leadership philosophy, and the wisdom she has to share. Let's get started. Hi, Davida. How are you doing today?
Hi, Michelle. What a lovely introduction. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's an honor to be speaking with you today. I understand that you started your Toastmasters journey with the beginnings of Finer Toastmasters. You actually came on board prior to the club starting, and you were one of the charter members. I'd like to hear a little more about that. What inspired you to become a Toastmaster?
Yes, thank you for that question. About in 2018, at my job, there was a Toastmasters club that you could actually take advantage of and go upstairs over the lunch hour and help polish your public speaking skills. At that time, I was so afraid, I had so much fear in speaking really in front of people, not being confident on what I know. And then at the end of the day, I challenged myself to take advantage of this and join the club. And once I joined the club and looked around the room, I realized everybody removed their titles. It was people with very high senior ranking within our organization. And then there were just normal people like me that just really wanted to practice speaking in front of people without having too many hiccups. And at the end of the day, I loved it. I embraced it. And so when we had this opportunity to charter our chapter underneath our sorority, Finer Toastmasters, I was excited and happy to know that 48 other charter members were excited to do this journey with us.
It is an exciting journey. I know I worked with Finer as we chartered the club, and going through that process and getting to know the members of your club, I was quite inspired by the entire group. Everybody had such great energy, and I love Finer Toastmasters. I absolutely love attending your meetings because of that energy and that enthusiasm and excitement. So I understand that you are the president of this club, and it's been an interesting year for you. How did you become the president and the person taking charge, and what was that like for you?
So taking charge is not a stranger for me. However, leading by example and stepping up to the plate, I was a little nervous, going around the table to see who wanted to, when we had the initial meetings, who wanted to do what, and then voting on it. Nobody voted for the president. Nobody stood up and said, they wanted to be the president. So I said, you know what, Davita, take the lead since you're comfortable in this. And at that time, it was only one other charter member who had previous Toastmasters experience. Why not me? So I accepted the challenge, and here we are today, ready to celebrate almost 1 year of being a Finer Toastmasters chapter within Toastmasters International.
1 year, that is exciting to get the first year under your belt. And I noticed when I was looking at some of your social media pages that there have been a lot of icebreaker projects completed in your club. And I want to know, what are you doing that's driving your members and keeping them engaged? And why do they want to get their levels completed or their speeches?
Yes. So we emphasize in our chapter that we are a Toastmasters chapter of doing. So we know we get a lot of members that come on and they listen. And by the time we're done the call, it really relaxes them to say, I can actually do this icebreaker. With a lot of members, it is kind of hard to make sure everybody has a voice, but we make sure we fill in the topic master part pieces, and we make sure that people do lean in and their voice matters. We have a broad level of professional members in our chapter, and we make sure that their voices matter and they're confident in what they speak of. And just an icebreaker is not that hard. We just want you to be yourself and show up and talk about something that you feel comfortable speaking about. And that will jump you right into your pathways and get your task done and move things along, because it's not going to move without you. So we want to make sure we give that space we give that space during our meeting so that everybody leans in and uses their voice, whether it's just to say affirmations, whether it's doing a meeting role, whether it's just commenting on something. We want to make sure that each member comes in there feeling comfortable. It's a sisterly atmosphere, and we make it fun too.
That's great. I think that's wisdom that can be shared with any Toastmasters club. We want to see our members just relax and have fun. We definitely get more out of Toastmasters when we are enjoying our time. Isn't that what Smedley said? Ralph Smedley, he has a quote about we learn best in times of enjoyment. And it sounds like you are embracing that, even if you've never heard that quote before. So he was definitely onto something when he developed Toastmasters right from the beginning. I understand that Finer Toastmasters is associated, and it's sort of a subgroup of Zeta Phi Beta sorority. Can you share the purpose of your sorority and how having a group or a subgroup like Toastmasters has been a benefit?
Yes. So Zeta Phi Beta Sorority is a predominantly African American sorority, which was founded on January 16th, 1920. We emphasize the importance of scholarship, service, sisterhood, and finer womanhood. Our members are sorors, and they're also our friends of Zeta, which we call our amici. And again, when I was talking about the level of the professional, everybody's professional, and believe it or not, they're born leaders. It's whether they take that seat as a leader. So in these different various and diverse professional spaces that they hold, when they're at their jobs, whether they're on an executive board, whether they're doing a community service project, it is so important to know how to present not only just yourself, you as an African American woman, you as a leader, as you as a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. So we took this and we took Toastmasters when it was brought to us, and we were like, we need to carry this torch and demonstrate and let people come in and broaden and improve their public speaking skills. So you had us at hello, basically. Something we all need to do is to learn it and learn it again. There is no end to public speaking, and what Toastmasters has demonstrated to us is that we can do this and do it in such a short amount of time and present ourselves and do it without the nervousness and do it without feeling not confident enough. It's given us the confidence to take public speaking to another level, Michelle. And that's one thing we love. And that's one thing our members really enjoy about this whole program.
That's really inspiring. I just find that your entire group is some. You are all somebody who I would love to just aspire to be. You are to embracing all of these things that that I'd like to see even in Toastmasters, that sense of community where you do things together, you lift each other up, you take each other into what's next. And I think that's a very positive thing that we're not seeing a lot of these days. It seems like in society, things have sort of eroded when it comes to that sense of community and lifting each other up. And so I admire everyone that's in your club for their dedication to your sorority, but also to Toastmasters and each other. I'd like to shift a little bit here and go to your personal background, because although I know a lot about you and your Toastmasters existence, your leadership in the sorority, and also your professional background, I don't know a lot about you personally. So I'd like to get to know you just a little bit more. If you could tell me a little bit about where you're from and, what I know what you do for work, but maybe why you're doing that, or if there's a purpose behind it. Just give me a little background.
Sure. I am from a town called Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Some people know about Lancaster. It's where where predominantly our Amish people live in Lancaster with some delicious food. We grew up in the smaller part of Lancaster. The city part of Lancaster is predominantly Puerto Rican and Black. I lived there for a little bit. I've moved around a lot, which has been able to make me adapt and overcome a lot of environments. And I grew up there. Then I moved to a couple other places. And when I was about 19 years old, actually about 18 years old, I said, you know what? I wasn't ready to go to college. And I was like, what? My friends are leaving me. What am I going to do? So I joined the army because I knew I needed a plan to survive, to live in this world, right? We knew this world was ever changing, it's evolving, especially with now with technology. And I just didn't know who I was when I was that young of an age. So I joined the military. I learned how the sun doesn't set and rise on DaVita. I kept my attitude in my back pocket. And I knew that you had to come across the finish line in life as a team. You cannot go up a mountain all by yourself. Let me tell you that. And from that, it just helped me be a better person. I knew everything. Everything in life is bigger than me. And although I went, got married, had children, happily divorced, moved here, moved there. You know, I'm very proud of who I am and how far I've come, but I didn't get this far by myself. I have a village. I have a board of directors in my personal life. I put God first. And I believe in myself. And the tribulation that I've gone through, it just makes me want to pay it forward and give back. Because I see those same kids, and I was once those same kids who needed love, who needed warmth, who needed food, needed someone to listen to them and help build their confidence that they too could be somebody. You don't have to be a doctor. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. But the fantasy worlds that are presented today in social media and stuff, I take that out of I remove that and let these youth know just to be comfortable in the skin you're in, and that's okay. That's who I am. I just want to build people, coach them, because somebody helped me along the way, Michelle.
I can relate to much of that. I appreciate where you're coming from and what has motivated you. It sounds like most of your adult life. I wonder what you brought up Lancaster, and I always find Lancaster an interesting place. And you're right, the food is fabulous. But I wonder what it was like growing up there.
So it was I will tell you, I did not, me and my siblings did not have the best childhood. If you didn't know, you're looking at a person who's survived foster care, who survived rough environments, who wasn't as smart as that person beside him. But guess what? That didn't stop me and believing in myself and going up there. I was in an environment where it was just Puerto Rican and Black. So once we moved, we finally settled and came and lived and moved to Norristown, Pennsylvania. We're looking around like, wait a minute, there's other cultures that live here, and now we're in this huge melting pot. And it was like, wow. So we don't have to stay here. We could live somewhere else. And then it just kind of opened up the world, and we actually realized there are options for us. There is cause, and we both sides of our family are from Lancaster. Don't get me wrong. We go back to Lancaster because not too many of our family moved out of there. But it takes us back to a place when we were just children, and the world was different. Now that we know that we are survivors and survivors of our environment, we want to make sure we don't really relive that, and we want to make sure that we continue to build hope, because that's what me and my sisters are to me. They were hope, and because we got through that through foster care, all three of us graduated college, all three of us got married, built our own families at the end. Well, so two of the three got married. We built our own family, but we tried and we failed, and that humbled us, because you know what? You never know what you're going to get through until you actually get through. And somebody else's situation could be worse. So all we had to do was keep trying because we had each other. That's how we survived, and that's what gave us hope, and that's what inspires us to keep going. So when we go back to Lancaster, it is a we don't we're not we don't say, I wish we never did that. Thank you for the missteps that happened, because if they didn't happen, we wouldn't be here today.
Absolutely. That's also everything about you is so inspiring, and it encourages me and I'm sure others to also strive a little harder, work a little more towards things that are good, and just putting that out into the universe, that positivity, that goodness that you bring, that energy that you bring. And I think that's why we asked you to join us for this podcast, because I know your energy is coming through. People are going to hear that as they listen to the recording. I'm wondering if there was any one person or situation that truly inspired you to continue to survive and be strong. I mean, we have ups and downs in our lives all the time. So I'm wondering if there's one thing that you are inspired by or one
Yes.
person.
Yes. Thank you for that. And then thank you for that question. When I think about that question, when people used to ask that question before, I didn't realize the gem that was in front of me. And I will tell you, my mother, who passed away last January, she is really my hero. And the reason why I emphasize that, because she raised us, despite the tribulations she went through, despite the missteps she had, she taught us how to be independent. And she taught us resilience, to get back up, regardless of what just happened the day before. She taught us to get back up. And through the mistakes that she made, she overcame the things that happened to her in her life. Last year, right before she passed away, it was 42 years she practiced. We celebrated her not being on any alcohol, being addicted to any drugs and things like that. And that takes a lot to get over addictions, because we all have addictions. Mine might be retail therapy, but we're not talking about that at this time. But we all have addictions. And to adapt and get through that as a single parent, and even my father is still living with us today. He went through some missteps. He changed his whole life around. They changed their life around to be able to show that they could get through things. And because of that, we had to say, we can't feel sorry for what happened. We can only move forward. And I think that's where we're at today in this world. We have to keep moving forward. So my mother, I miss her dearly, 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 dearly. Every day I walk into her room and I get the chills thinking about her. I chuckle, and it's laughter and it's sad, but she is the true person who has inspired me that I can do anything. And she was standing here today. She would tell us how proud she is of all of us.
I'm absolutely certain she would be proud of you. Let's go ahead and shift a little more from that. And I want to hear more about you and maybe some of your favorite things. Like, what do you do for fun and why? You mentioned old school music and you mentioned dancing. I'm just wondering if you could tell us a little more about that.
So yes, so it my mother and father, although they were happily divorced, they both loved music, and we grew up old school, knowing all the music. Go think about that record player back in the day. We knew a lot of music, so music is something that moves me, and I have always been light on my feet. I love dancing. I love line dancing. I bop, I cha-cha, I two-step. You name it. I don't know how to waltz, but maybe one day I'll get there. But I love moving. I'm just high off of life, and the music really moves me. I also love game nights, family game nights. Now, I wasn't that kid in high school that wanted to. I signed up for sports and all that stuff. We couldn't afford to play sports, really. My sister, she did play lacrosse and softball, but for me, no. I wanted to hang out with the cool kids in the street. That was the Vita. So I skipped all that sports stuff. But let me tell you about family game night. We take it seriously. You don't want to come in our house not knowing how to play taboo because you will not be on my team. Okay. And we play spades and we play, a 5 second game. We play it all and we have such a good time. And the best part about it, they get to eat my delicious food. Yes, I'm claiming it. I'm owning it. My food will make you get up and smack your mama. That's how good it is. So I enjoy feeding you. I enjoy making other people happy. But not to a fault, so they can have a good time and have a good experience. Life is really about giving people good experiences because I expect a good experience when I go out and celebrate. So I do my best to feed you, have a good time, and then give and then show you the door and tell you to come back another time.
All right. Well, I'll definitely not show up at your house with my pillow then. But I have a spoon that I carry around with me, so I may bring my spoon.
Yes.
All right. So we've already talked about what motivates you and your story, your background. But I'm wondering a little more about maybe your philosophy. And I am thinking about spring. Spring is only a few days away. It feels like it's maybe a little closer or maybe a little further away, depending on your perspective. But I'm wondering, when you think about spring and that time of renewal and emerging again from your cocoon, what is there that you can share with us when you think about those about spring?
So I love flowers. It's like almost like a like you know how it, the winter sets in. Let me get you. Let's be clear. Spring and summer are not my favorite seasons because the allergies are here. However, the beauty of spring and the beauty of fall, it's almost like you reset and you do renew. So I like to say spring and fall is a time to really to reset and say, okay, here's another chance. To get to here's another chance, and every day is a new chance to get things right. But here's a new chance to inspire, motivate, and then look in the mirror at yourself and say, what am I doing to help move the needle in this world? What am I doing to help myself understand and be better and be accountable for what I'm supposed to do in life? Where's my list and where's the things I said I was going to get done in the winter that I didn't get done? Where are the things I want to challenge myself to do, and what is reachable for me? So it's really kind of a refreshing state as you look at the flowers come up out the ground, as you look at just the changing of the seasons, and you just sit back and look at the sky, and the sunset will always tell you that tomorrow's a new day and we get to do things differently. But what are you doing today to help move that needle? And that's really where I'm at. So it's all part of self-awareness and where you want to take yourself in this world. But you always get a new day. And when them flowers bloom, I do believe I am a rose and I will always bloom again, regardless of what happened the day before.
That's a terrific. I appreciate that wisdom, philosophy that you shared with us. I've enjoyed listening to your story today, and I think it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the Megaphone, our District 38 podcast. It's taken us a while to get this together. I will share that we have been trying to record this session or this podcast since November.
Yeah, that's about it, Michelle. Sounds
So
about right.
between the two of us, we've finally come together and we're looking at spring. We're banging on spring's door and we're looking at wrapping up your year at Finer, your first year at Finer Toastmasters. We're really excited about the club and the direction that your club is going in. And your members, again, are strong and phenomenal. And we appreciate you as a leader in our district. You are inspirational. And as I said, it's been an absolute pleasure getting to know you today. Your dedication to leadership, mentorship, and service shines through in everything you do. From inspiring future leaders in Toastmasters and Zeta Phi Beta to build strong relationships in your professional career, you truly embody the spirit of empowerment. Thank you for sharing your story today, your wisdom, and your passion. We can't wait to see the continued impact that you'll make. And to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this conversation, don't forget to subscribe, share, And stay connected with us for more stories that amplify the voices of District 38. Until next time, keep using your voice to make a difference.